what? Yeah. So he came and did that. And I didn't even recognize. I didn't realize it. But that's who he is and what they're about. So get those cabinets done. We've got them in our mudroom, laundry room, kitchen, living room, walk-in closets, bathrooms. And I got to tell you, never had a single issue with any of them. We love our cabinets at Harbin Lumber, harbinlumber.com, Harbin Lumber. Remember the number, 353-5053. 9866 said WCCP is family. Got in an Uber a few weeks back, and the guy's listening to whatever Walt was making at the time, and he said a kindred spirit there. Yeah, we are, again, we can never say thank you enough through any of that. Couple of things here. I'm going to get Delvin, and then I want to get into the Big Ten Commissioner's comments. Delvin, thanks for hanging on, man. How you doing this morning? Hey, Delvin.
Hello, yo, how you doing, man?
Man, I'm great. I hope you are, too.
Man, Jimbo Fisher, so the HC Network traded Mark Packer for Jimbo Fisher, huh?
Yeah, the Pac-Man for Fisher, huh?
Hey, you talking about the way he talk? Don't he sound like an auctioneer when he be talking? Like when he be talking about the team, like, well, you know, they were the big ball club, and they doing all this. And you got to take your questions out. With your questions?
Yeah. I got to be honest with you, man. I can't wait to see the closed captioning. What it looks like?
Yeah, cause when he used to do weekly press coverage, I was watching. He be talking so fast. Like I said, like an auctioneer, like. At this great ball club, they were doing all this stuff, and I'm like, okay.
What does he say?
If you're a reporter, you're like, can you repeat that?
Yeah.
I'm like, come on.
Yeah. I love it, man.
Hey, you talking about Mark Reed. Devo love Mark Reed, so you and Devo must differ, because he love Mark Reed's sense of humor and stuff. So.
Oh, yeah.
But that wasn't first started, though. I don't know about now. But that's when
I've always liked Mark Reed, but Mark Reed is a, he's not the most dynamic television personality, you know.
Yeah.
I have a tremendous amount of respect for Mark Rick.
It's got an interest. I don't know who they're gonna replace Mark Packer with, because this show was good, man. It went up against Paul Feinbaum, and a lot of people like the show. I don't know what they're gonna do now.
I don't know, and it goes to show how hard it is to do, because you think that there's a bunch of talent out there and people be lined up to do it. And I always thought West Durham did a good job, too. But apparently, it's not an easy job, I guess.
It's interesting. Listen to the two teams yesterday. I think Tony Elliott sounded real comfortable with me. I think he's like, I know something you guys don't know.
Yeah, maybe that's Chandler Morris. Maybe. I hope so, because I love Tony so much. I just think it's tough. We'll do a win game for Virginia coming up. But I hope that's Chandler Morris.
I love Chandler Morris comfortably. He's like, everybody talking about, man, you could win anywhere in the world. He's like, I can't let him because I'm going to win.
Yeah.
That's why I went to Virginia, because I'm going to win.
And fact of the matter is that you should feel that way. That's what you want. He's a good quarterback. I would say this. I think he's the best passing quarterback Tony's had at Virginia.
Yeah. So. And then you got Florida State today. I just wish Boston College was the other day, though, Mickey, so bad. Because I just want to see Boston College. I want to see Tommy Castellanos. Say those same comments with them Boston College players there.
Yeah, they'll meet on the field, don't they? Don't they play each other this year? I think I'm right by saying that. So maybe we'll see. Make sure of that. But yeah, hopefully we'll get to see those two guys facing each other, and maybe remind their
looks. Because you talking about how you read the ACC, and I watched the game, but when they played against Virginia Tech, I said you look like you read Virginia Tech, who went 6-6 this year.
Yeah,
but you know what? You read the ACC.
I'm looking at it now. Boston College does not play Florida State this year.
Yeah.
Hmm. They play Fordham, but they don't play Boston College. Yeah. I mean, Florida State.
Alabama, he read the ACC, but if you look at him, Miguel, he read the ACC, but he quit on his team. But he read the ACC. What do you see?
And Alabama says disrespect will be dealt with. That's a fascinating game, though, isn't it? I mean, I can honestly see Alabama or Florida State winning that game. I don't know what either has right now, just because of the portal and all that. But and in Tallahassee.
I think you don't like Ty Simpson.
I don't trust him. Look, he might make a big jump, but he's gonna have to prove it to me first. I've seen him in the field so far.
I think Ryan Grove gonna have to be the key right there.
Yeah, we'll see, man. We'll see. Hopefully, for Alabama, they get the offense going in year two. But DeBoer was not. And it's been a hot seat. That won't go. Let him go. Lose four football games. And see how that works.
So you saying that Big Ten card to my 14. So you saying Rutgers should be in the playoffs last year? They would have six losses. You're not going to be six losses now. If you go six, you're in the playoffs now.
Did these people believe this?
They're gonna try to move the football every time. Like if they don't get no team in the playoff, well they're gonna be 5 losses now. You'd be 7-5 you get in the playoff. Well you can't get in the playoff, 6-6. No, 5-7 you can get in the playoff. They're gonna end up to
Did
4-8.
These people believe this garbage? There's no way you believe that. I think you have to say that. Like you're the commissioner and you gotta fight for your but he doesn't believe that. There's no way that you can get to his level of intelligence and his level of competency in his career, and he can believe that. I'll tell you what we're talking about here in a minute. Delvin, I appreciate the phone call.
Yeah, turn it off. All
right, buddy. So here is a Big Ten commissioner. Says, quote, if you're 6-3 in the Big Ten, I would argue that's a great record. And if you stumbled in a non-conference game, I don't know why that disqualifies you. 8-4 as a winning percentage. If you project that winning percentage in every other sport, I'm pretty sure you make the postseason. There are plenty of teams in professional sports who qualify for the playoffs who can't get past the first round game. That's okay. They still get to play. But we'll figure it out on the field rather than sitting in a room. Wait a minute. Are you trying to tell me that because basketball has 68 teams, that 8-4 winning percentage of football? Is that what he's saying for any other sports? Isn't that part of what he's saying?
I don't know, but I think we finally found how to get Purdue into the playoff. So I win. Get the 6 wins.
And even then he says 6-3 is a great record. Even if you stumble in a non-conference game, 8-4?
Yeah, I don't know, Tony. I don't know, Tony.
And isn't this the same league go along with the SEC that he said, you know, getting into the first round and, you know, even if you can't get it past it, that's okay, right? Weren't they making fun of SMU, saying they didn't deserve to be there, that they're not a team that's good enough? Even though they made it to the first round, they didn't play well in the first round. But apparently, that's okay. But it's only okay if a Big Ten school does it, I guess.
Let me be clear about who Tony Petitti is here. He went to Harvard Law School. Like, he worked with CBS, Major League Baseball, and now he's the Big Ten Commissioner. Like, he's not a below-average intelligence guy, right? Like, he's a fairly elite mind, you would think. Does he really? Honest to goodness, I don't think he believes that.
And at 8-4, coming in from the Big Ten, ruckus.
Seriously, this is a great case of just, we talk about coaches speak off, this has to be commissioner speech, right? Like, there's no way in his mind he believes that.
I mean, it's pretty out there, even for a commissioner speak. Would Sankey even go that far?
Oh, yeah, because there'd be 8 great losses. I mean, it'd be 4 great losses.
Yeah.
You can't even say that in the let's look at Ohio State's schedule here, right? You got for the Big Ten, you obviously have Penn State and Michigan, right? But the other teams after that, UCLA, Rutgers, Purdue, Wisconsin, Illinois, Minnesota, Washington.
High class.
If Ohio State were to lose 2 more of those games, that would be a failure of a season.
Outback Bowl.
Like there's no way you can look at that and there's hardly 4 good teams in the Big Ten, and you're going to say if 4 losses is good?
I know this happens all the time. I know that in politics, you are given the platform, and so you even if you disagree, you have to say some things because your party believes in that. So what you're saying there is that, all right, I'm going to go out here. I'm going to have this press conference, and I'm going to talk about something that I don't believe. But because my party says this, I have to come out and say that. I know that happens. Make sure I'm right in saying this. He doesn't believe this, right? Like, he is forced to say it. At least give me the benefit of the doubt here, like, that he's not an idiot.
I sure hope not.
This is following the propaganda lines. He's got to do what he's got to do what he's got to do. He's got to do his job. Yeah. This is his job, is to say stuff like this. I'm not holding it to him. It's just silly.
So if you're doing that, then why in the world are we paying attention to anything else you say? You see, that cheapens the rest of what you say. Because now I got to go, okay, does he really believe that or not? Because he goes on to say stuff like, I think if we're in a situation where we get four automatic qualifiers, then I think it'd be great to have a 10th game against a Power 4 team. If we're not going to do that, I don't think it makes sense. Okay, but does he believe that too? Or is he just having to say that too? He also says that pushback from Porter, he says, quote, a reporter said, I don't sense a clamor for a four-loss team in a playoff. And the reporter's right. Like, no one's storming the gates saying we have to have an 8-4 playoff team. I think the reporter's 100% correct about that. But see, he can't say that if he's a commissioner of the Big Ten. So, you see my point, though? That if that is the case, then what else is he to not believe that he's saying?
To be fair, it does feel like we get a little closer and closer every single year when Alabama loses one more game to starting to clamor for the four-loss playoff teams.
Well, to be fair, anytime in society, once you pass a certain threshold of life, you don't go back.
No, you move to the next one.
Right.
And you just keep going.
Right, right.
It's not happening. He's got to say it, but it's not happening. It's been a really weird week for comments.
Everybody, like all the ACC fans, love Rhett Lashley now. Because Lashley stood up and had to talk about the SEC having just six teams win national championships and only six, and said that's a top-heavy league. So now everybody, like Lashley, he got the talking points and he threw it out there, so now he's the hero of the ACC. I just wonder, because remember Walt would always have on the college football, the BCS guy. And then he'd say, oh, we can't have a playoff, it's got to be BCS. And then the very next year, when it did a playoff, and he was named the commissioner of the playoff stuff or on the playoff committee stuff, he's like, oh, yeah, obviously we've got to have playoffs. Like forever, man, you didn't believe what you were saying, but you had to say it. So why am I taking anything else you say seriously?
Believed in the paycheck.
And look, this guy, Petiti, man, like he's got to make, what, $6 million a year. For $6 million a year, I try to tell you that today was Monday. I try to convince you today's Monday, if that's what you wanted me to tell you. $6 million. But also, I'm losing credibility. Because now, that's the thing that's got to happen. If you understand that it's only about propaganda, then where do we draw that line with anything you say? You lose credibility. Am I making my point?
Okay. It kind of feels like the Chicken Little mayor at this point.
Right.
He's just
right.
Reading off the signs, doing what he's told, and right. Moving on to the next year.
Right. Like, I can't even take it serious. Like, there is no objectivity to it all. All it is, this is my position. This is what I have to say. Snap Hook, thanks for hanging in, man. How you doing?
I'm doing good, Mickey Pollard. You know, the old ball coach called it talking season. I think we can change it to propaganda season.
That's it.
That's just one good way of summing it up. It's propaganda season.
Yeah.
Mickey Pollard, I got a couple of questions for you.
All right.
In the past 25 years, have golf courses got longer and tougher to play?
Yes.
In the past 25 years, have golfers got better in fitness and coaching and technology and, you know, every metric that we can imagine? Have golfers got better over the past 25 years?
I would say yes. Not at a breakneck pace, though, because the scores don't indicate it, but that's because other factors that are going on there. But yeah, as a whole, yes.
When can we start putting Scottie Scheffler in the Tiger Woods conversation?
Well,
or is he there now?
I'll tell you this. He's the second best player of the last 50 years. But he's not Tiger Woods. Because there is a clear difference in what Tiger did and what Scottie's done so far. Now, if he continues this at this pace the last 2 years, what he's done, then we'll start, you know, making the comparison to number one. But right now, we're comparing him to the other 10,000 golfers played on the tour in the last 50 years, and he's the second best one of those. But he's not Tiger Woods right yet.
I don't think we'll ever see a putting display like 2000 Tiger Woods ever in our lifetimes, Mickey. At the same time, with the courses being as long and as tough as they are, and the quality of competition, in my opinion, being astronomically better than it was back in, you know, 2000, 25 years ago, I think the margins for error are smaller. And what Scotty is doing, I believe, is as impressive, but on a different understanding. You know, Tiger overpowered golf courses. He had the intimidation factor. He had, I mean, again, back in that three-year stretch, probably had the best putter and best short game ever known to golf. That being said, he didn't have the week-in and week-out competition that Scotty does as far as the playing field around him. I think I agree with you. Second best, he's got to have more accomplishments, but I think we can start talking about that trajectory. I appreciate it, brother.
Thank you, man. To say that he's the second best is not a stab at him, because the second best of 10,000, the second best of the last 50 years, that's one thing. But Tiger's deal is just different. And Tiger, to win the way he was winning that many times, that often, like, that was just a little bit different. I mean, there are times in there, and I'll go over the next segment because I'm up against a break. But there's just some years and some tournaments and some dominating. I mean, Tiger won the U.S. Open by 15 shots. You know, Scotty's winning by 4 or 5. That, but he's doing a great job at it, but not like Tiger Woods. That's second best player the last 50 years. And on a great trajectory, by the way, which we'll have to revisit this every year if it continues down this pace. My great friends at Wendy's want to start your breakfast off right. Sam, I did this with Will and Landon yesterday. If I was taking your breakfast order at Wendy's right now, given the biscuit, the breakfast burrito, the croissants, giving the English muffin, giving you the Cinnabon, what would be on the docket for you today?
Are they still rolling out those cinnamon stick things? Those the Cinnabon?
Cinnabons, they're doing those.
Those are probably Cinnabon. The unhealthiest thing I can find in the morning to wake me up.
That gets you going, though.
It's going to wake Cinnabon. You up.
Yeah.
Sugar in you.
I've been going croissant. I think I might go English muffin this morning.
Croissant.
Yeah, croissant. See how that works out for you. We love our great friends over at Wendy's. And don't break the bank. Start off with you're not having an uphill battle from a bank standpoint. $2 for $3 Biggie Bundle Bag. The great folks at Wendy's want to start your breakfast off right today. We'll examine some of his Tiger years compared to Scheffler right after this.
What we love about our ability to help patients at QC Kinetics is seeing their pure delight at finally being able to do the things they enjoy without pain.
I had a patient start treatment with me. He wanted to be able to be active again and do some of his sports that he really enjoyed.
Dr. Ashley Caravelli, a medical director for QC Kinetics, treats patients with chronic joint pain using their body's own biologics. The goal? Get them back to living their best lives without surgery or harmful drugs.
He came back and he goes, "What I wasn't expecting was the ability to play on the floor with my grandchildren. Even just saying it now, I have goosebumps because it's changing those small moments that you take for granted."
Don't let joint pain rob you of those moments. See if you're a candidate for QC Kinetics regenerative treatments.
It just warms my heart to be able to help people live the life they want to live and get those small moments back.
Call QC Kinetics 864-448-3772. That's 864-448-3772. 864-448-3772.
Steve and Jerry here from the world-famous Beacon Drive-In in Spartanburg. The Beacon has served over 300 menu selections of burgers, barbecue, chicken, fish, and more for over 70 years. Jerry, what's been the most popular?
Chili cheese, I ain't plantain. I need flounder. Cheeseburger like a burger, make it crust. Give me a bacon whip, no trim.
Had a feeling you'd say that. Join Steve
and Jerry
at the world-famous Beacon Drive-In, John B. White Senior Boulevard in Spartanburg.
Hey, plantain.
Gilstrap Roofing's experienced team specializes in shingle and flat roofs for residential, commercial, and industrial customers. Their dedication to complete customer satisfaction is why a large portion of their business comes from repeat customers and referrals. If you need a full-service roofing contractor that has over 88 years of experience and takes pride in top customer satisfaction, Gilstrap Roofing has got you covered. Call for your free roofing estimate today at 269-1232 and online at gilstraproofing.com.
All right, huddle up, guys. Hey, are you hurt? Better send in the special team. Trammell and Mills, get in there. I call them the local law firm because they're local lawyers, not just a bunch of talking heads. And they know how to win. When one of you gets injured at work or wrecked in a pileup, Trammell and Mills are fighting for you. Okay, call that number.
485-8585. Hood, hood.
That's the right call. Trammell and Mills, local lawyers that know how to play the insurance game.
We're here with Eric Snyder of Snyder Tree Care. Eric, you need more people. Obviously, that's a good thing because the business is growing. But when someone comes to work for you, what do you hear from them about their work experience?
We're looking for team members who like to work outdoors and enjoy the culture of do the right thing. We're a company that's going to do right things for our employees, and then our employees do right things for the client and the community.
Leave it to Snyder Tree Care.
Make living easy this summer with Kraft Stove Store and Patio, America's best in outdoor furniture. Make sure your outdoor space has everything it needs to impress your guests this summer with everything Kraft Stove Store and Patio can provide by Lloyd Flanders, Hanamint Summer Classics, and Palm Springs Rattan. You can special order anything you need for your patio, porch, and pool furniture with Kraft Stove Store and Patio, located at 3002 Wade Hampton Boulevard in Taylor.
Kraft Stove Store and Patio.
Warm weather offers a great opportunity to get creative in your kitchen and your backyard as you're preparing meals for your family, friends, and neighbors. And nothing makes your creativity more enjoyable than the selection of ingredients you'll find at your neighborhood Ingles Market. From hand-cut steaks to seafood, locally grown fruits and vegetables from right here in the Carolinas. Whether it's breakfast, lunch, dinner, or a weekend cookout, rely on your local Ingles to have what you need. If you're on your way to the beach or the mountains, use your Ingles Advantage card to save on fuel purchases before you hit the road. Shop your Ingles pharmacy to save on prescriptions. If you're having a family get-together or reunion, have the Ingles Deli create a custom platter for you. The Ingles floor department has beautiful arrangements to accent your home and your table. So take it from me, you'll find everything you need at your local Ingles. Low prices, love the savings.
Broadcasting live from the Upcountry Fiber Studios, this is 105.5 and 97.5 The Roar. Upcountry Fiber is a stronger connection.
The Upstate's home for sports talk.
It entertains me. I enjoy listening on the way home.
105.5 and 97.5 FM. We are The Roar.
For a stronger connection with your high-speed internet, go with the best. Go with Upcountry Fiber. We are inside of our Upcountry Fiber studios. We love their support. Can't thank them enough. I'll tell you the fastest, best internet available is Upcountry Fiber at upcountryfiber.com. Get in touch with them. We'd love to help you out. Some of my great friends at Upcountry Fiber. Great folks doing a terrific job for you. Upcountryfiber.com. Television and phones as well, business or home. Take care of it at Upcountry Fiber in the five upstate counties. So, again, let me be clear to this. I'm a Scottie Scheffler fan. I think the world of Scottie Scheffler. And Scottie Scheffler is as good an individual in sports as I've ever seen. Like, what a man. What a father. What a husband, right? With that said, he's the second best player of the last 50 years. But he's not Tiger Woods. Scottie Scheffler won four times in the 21-22 season, twice in 22-23, seven times last year and four times this year. And that's great. That is 17 wins in his career. That's great. Tiger, though, starting back in, he won twice in 96, four times in 97, once in 98, and then how about 99 and 2000? Again, Scotty's last 2 years, he's won 11 times in 2 years. Tiger won eight times in 99 and nine times in 2000.
I have a follow-up question. Not necessarily... It's an extension here. What does he have to do in the next, let's say, 3 years? Give Scottie Scheffler 3 years. What does he have to do for Mickey Plyler to climb into a legitimate conversation pace-wise for you?
to conversation about being better than Tiger Woods?
To get into that realm where you could actually start to talk about it.
Again, well, in 99-2000, Tiger won 17 times.
So he's going to have to win many, many.
Yeah, and to be clear, well, let's give this to you as well. It's things going to come down to major championships. Tiger Woods went through a span there. And again, now a lot of injuries in there too. Who knows how healthy this guy's going to be? I'm pulling for him. But you start talking about from 2000 to 2008, Tiger won 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Tiger won 12 majors in 8 years. In 2000, Tiger finished fifth at the Masters and then won the U.S. Open, the British Open, the PGA Championship, and then won the Masters again the next year. He held all four major championships at one time.
Calendar year.
I mean.
So Scotty would have to do that to even start to climb into.
Not to start to climb into it, but. When Scotty Scheffler holds all four majors, then he can say, I did what Tiger did. When he wins, what did we say that was? 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12 majors in 8 years? Then we'll start talking that.
Interesting. I saw a text on it, and second in the last 50 years is pretty good. It's a pretty good place to be.
I mean, it's the second best one ever, pal. I'm sorry if that's an insult.
Texter said Scotty would have 8+ majors right now if he were playing against Tiger's competition.
That's not true. No, that's not true. Like, so who's Scotty Scheffler beating? I mean, it's a little bit deeper, but it's not. Okay, let's say that. Here's what Scotty Scheffler's done in majors. Tell me the 8 he would have won, by the way. So Scotty Scheffler in majors has 9 top fives. So at fourth this year, so you're saying he would have won the Masters? Because Rory was there. So you got to beat Rory with that one. But like seventh at the U.S. Open this year, would he won that one? I guess second at the U.S. Open in 22, maybe. But Tiger Woods was not beating a bunch of tomato cans. It's not that long ago, by the way. The golf hadn't changed that much in the last 15 years. Where Tiger won 6 majors in 3 years. Is Scotty going to do that? Maybe. But, I mean, just looking at it, man, my gracious. Look at I'm showing this right here. Look at the green. And the yellow's top tens. The whole thing's like a weather map for Tiger Woods throughout his career.
No, I'm looking at it, and, you know, I was too young. Like, I was born in 2004. So I wasn't really, you know, a knowledge enough to know how good Tiger was, but looking at that, I mean, you got to think for that time period, one of the most winningest players, no matter the sport.
Let me give you this. Here's the match. Starting in 97, the Masters for Tiger. First, 8th, 18th, 5th, 1st, 1st, 15th, 22nd, 1st, 3rd, 2nd, 2nd, 6th, 4th, 4th, 40th, 4th. I mean, U.S. Open starting in 2000, 1st, 12th, 1st, 20th, 17th, 2nd, miscut, 2nd, 1st, 6th, 4th. British Open, starting in 2000. 1st, 25th, 28th, 4th, 9th, 1st, 1st, 12th. PGA Championship, starting in 99. 1st, 1st, 29th, 2nd, 39th, 24th, 4th, 1st, 1st, 2nd. Like,
I think one of the texts that is correct, and I've lost it here because we've got like 50 on this, is we've seen a lot of golfers, and I think Scotty's way better than all of the golfers who have had like 2-3 year really good runs since Tiger's dominance ended. Yeah. He's better than all of them by a good bit, I think, too. But we've seen golfers go on 2-3 year really good stretches. Scotty's got to get 8-9 years of that to match what you're talking about with Tiger. And it's the longevity.
Sure.
Where Tiger was legitimately unbeatable or in the top five of every competition for 8-9 years, and you've got to get to that level and win a whole bunch of them too just to get to that conversation. But I do think Scotty, if anybody in the last decade or so, is capable of doing that more than anyone else. So that's a credit to him.
That's why he's the second best player in the last 50 years. I mean, that's, you know, that's not an insult. That's phenomenal. Tiger Woods was number one in the world Right by saying this. Tiger Woods is number one in the world 683 weeks. All right. Scottie Scheffler has been number one in the world 149 weeks. Like, this is giving some time, man. You know, Scheffler has now won 17, let me see right with this, on the PGA Tour 16 times. And Tiger's won 82 times, is that right? I mean, let's give him some time. He's trending in the right direction. But, I mean, you know.
I mean, I'm looking at top 10 players of the 2000s from USA Today Golf Week. And everyone in the top five has about, you know, one to two major titles in the 2000s. And then you get down to first where it has Tiger and he has 12. Yeah. In the 2000s, like, it's just that those are insane numbers when you start to tally it up against
Tiger Woods. Won the Masters by 12 shots. He won the U.S. Open by 15 shots. He won the British Open by 8 shots.
And so I guess that texture would say, is that Tiger being that much better, or the competition just not being as good as Tiger?
Can it be both?
I think the competition is slightly better now, but not. Not to the point where they make up 15 shots.
I mean, would Tiger not dominate today, too, in his prime? I mean, he would. Yes. He would still dominate. Yes. He would dominate, and it's the any yes. era argument that we yes. always do with basketball players. He yes. could dominate in any era.
I mean, 100%. he would have still been winning if he wouldn't have got injured and had, you know, the off-the-course stuff. But
they, one thing to say this.
Still be competitive.
Scotty Scheffler's not having to beat the Live Tour guys in a week in, week out.
True.
What if you're taking away 10 great players out of Tiger Woods' era? On a weekend, week out basis on the PGA Tour. And the majors he's having to. But not on a weekend, week out basis. You can make that argument too, can't you? Know anybody making that argument against it?
How old was Tiger when he won his first major?
20. Let me see if I'm right by saying this.
Compared to Scotty.
He won earlier than Scotty.
So Scotty's also got to make that. He's going to have to go longer.
Yeah. So Scotty, Tiger was born in 75 and he won the Masters in 97. I think he was 21.
Yeah.
He's 21 at the time when he won the Masters.
I mean, that's ridiculous.
Yeah.
So.
Scheffler's great. Scheffler's having this phenomenal start to his career. He's the second best ever. Second best in the last 50 years. But Tiger's, that's a whole other conversation. Sorry.
You got four more years to have the same amount of time between Tiger's prime, you can call it, and then that will be Scotty's prime.
Yeah.
So in four more years, in 2029, if we want to look and compare it then, I think maybe it could have a different discussion. Because you can see it, you know, when you're looking at that Wikipedia spot, you got a little bit more green and yellow already, and you still got a little bit more to go. But
all right, how about this? How about this? Ben, our friend Ben from Clemson Basketball sends us in. From 97 to 2009, there are 52 players with 100 more rounds in major championships. The best cumulative score to par, Tiger Woods was 134 under par. The second best was Phil Mickelson, who was 99 over par. Ernie Els, the third best, at 118 over par. Every other player in the group was 275 shots behind Tiger Woods.
This is another point that texters have repeatedly gotten home about, is that Tiger wasn't just beating people. He was destroying people.
Yeah.
I mean, he was just running laps.
Yeah.
It's a good thing for Scotty that this is even something we can remotely talk about.
All right, got some more Tiger stuff for you. Ready? Tiger won a major championship with a score of 18 under par or better. It's only happened 8 times. He did it 5 times. World Golf Championships. Dustin Johnson, Jeff Ogilvy are second on the list with 3. Tiger won 18. The number of consecutive cuts made. Tiger made 142 cuts. Tiger didn't miss a cut from 1998 to 2005. No missed cuts. The number of times Tiger has won on a single golf course, he won 8 times at Torrey Pines. He's also done it at Bay Hill and Firestone. Tiger lost 1 time in a playoff. How about that? Tiger had at least a 5 tournament winning streak 3 different times. No one else has done it in the past 60 years on tour.
Who did he lose the one playoff to?
Billy Mayfair.
There you go.
One time he lost in a playoff. My friend Dale says, it would go down as the greatest player who chased women compared to the greatest player who did not chase women. Yeah. Look, Texas said, I'm giving you the last 25 years, but not the last 50 years. We'll see. Texas said golf courses are playing harder now. Players are better now. Tiger would still dominate, but he wouldn't get 18 majors. I don't know. I don't think I can say that.
Would Tiger not adjust to same conditions that they have now? The would that not enhance his game even more?
Sure, and equipment and all that kind of stuff. And what, I'll tell you this, and it feels like we're not talking about some ancient times like we're with hickory sticks and feathery balls.
It's the 2000s.
Yeah, yeah.
2010s, Tiger's put on, too.
Right. Tiger won the Masters in 2019.
Like 7 years.
Yeah. Like it ain't like we're talking about.
It's not a ghost.
No, the old Bellotta ball.
It's not even the Jordan LeBron debate where it's '90s versus 2000s.
No.
He's been doing it now.
Right. Not to mention the golf clubs and the technology are so much better to where you can be better now.
Right.
And he still was doing. He had a 41% winning percentage from 2005 to 2009.
That's just unbelievable.
I mean, imagine showing up and you see Tiger and you're just got to be like, oh, here we go again. Who's got second?
He had a 12-shot lead one time going to the finals of a major. They asked him, what do you have to shoot to win? He goes, you got to shoot Tiger.
Golfers talk about Tiger Woods like he's the boogeyman. That's the greatest compliment you can give a player. They talk about him like he's the boogeyman.
They were having a Tiger-proof golf courses.
Yeah.
Like, we tried to change golf courses because of one player.
When they start Scotty-proofing them, we can have a talk.
He had three different careers. 96 to 2000, he had 27 wins, 5 majors. 2001 to 2005, 26 wins, 5 majors. 2006 to 2019, 40 wins, 5 majors.
It's crazy. Crazy.
You really dive into it, and it's wild what he was able to do.
And you feel like you're dissing Scotty Scheffler. You're not.
No. You're not. It's just he was that good.
This is different.
You're chasing a demon, man. Different.
Like I said, if Scotty continues to trend this way, then we can have a legitimate conversation. Right now, the legitimate conversation is between Jack and Tiger. And as good as Tiger was, you still got to go Jack.
Who's the third best golfer in the last 50 years?
Maybe Mickelson, maybe Ernie Els, maybe Nick Faldo, maybe Severiano Ballesteros. There's some talk in there. Maybe Rory, maybe. All right, we got to take a break. One-time plumber, the name is the number, one-time plumber. I hope you don't have to call them, but if you do, they'll take care of it for you. They'll take care of all of your plumbing needs. In Charleston and Greenville and Columbia, the folks at One-Time Plumber will do an amazing job for you. One-time plumber, the name is the number. Don't have to go through Google searches and all. Do that in advance. Like, read about them now, because when it does go bad for you, you'll instantly react. You'll be conditioned to do it. You'll call One-Time Plumber. They'll take care of you. Licensed, bonded, insured, local folks. Clemson grads doing this. One Tom Plummer. Short break. One more open phone line segment for two guests in hour number three after this.
It's official. Jazz on the Alley every Thursday night right here in downtown Seneca. It's a lot of fun. It's absolutely free. It's outside dining and great music. We get started early at 5:30 with a happy hour. Here's a few sounds of some of these fabulous artists. And we get ready for a great show, 7 till 9, with the main acts. We got some great lineups for you right here. Here's just a few of the artists. Change, change, change. Yeah, you and your friends, along with 3,000 of your closest friends, will be here every Thursday night right here on Ramcat Alley in Townville Street. It's Jazz on the Alley, voted best event of the year. Come on out, bring your chairs just in case you need them, and have fun. And every Thursday, we'll see you for a little jazz.
I'm Ryan Beasley. My office works with clients in all areas of state and federal criminal defense to include pre-arrest investigations, white-collar defense, as well as student conduct issues at colleges and universities. Our team works in courts across the state to include city court, magistrate court, state court, and federal court. Our responsive and proactive approach in all cases is relationship-driven, client-centric, and resolution-focused. We look forward to the opportunity to work with you. Please give us a call at 864-679-7777 or find us on the web at www.ryanbeasleylaw.com.
If you haven't been to Elkmont, you haven't been to Clemson. There's something for everyone, including great lifestyle men's and women's clothing, jewelry, and the most comfortable shoes from On Running Shoes, Birkenstocks, and UFOs. If it's game day you want, Elkmont has a great selection of all things Clemson with great brands like Vuori, Patagonia, Z Supply, and more. Find Elkmont in Powdersville and Clemson or online at ElkmontTradingCompany.com. That's ELKMONTTradingCompany.com. Go Tigers.
Twin Peaks is the best in the game. Here, your favorite drafts are poured at a frosty 29 degrees and rare barrel-aged whiskeys are served just the way you want them. It's bigger game days and bolder fight nights. I mean, where else can you find a scratch kitchen that always comes in clutch every day from lunch to late night? Only at Twin Peaks, the number one sports bar.
Twin Peaks Scratch Kitchen scores every time. Dig into hand-smashed burgers, chef-inspired flatbreads, and more at your local Lodge.
Prepare to journey beyond reality. Interstellar Echoes proudly presents a mind-bending tribute to the legendary sounds of Pink Floyd. From iconic hits to rare deep cuts, their meticulously crafted performance brings the magic of Floyd to life, note for note, light for light, story for story. Don't miss this immersive concert experience. Live at the Walhalla Performing Arts Center, July 26th. Get your tickets now at walhallapack.com. Interstellar Echoes. Hear the legend, feel the pulse.
Greenville has a long mattress manufacturing history going back to 1931 when Orders Mattress Company was born. Today, the fourth generation of the Orders family is still making some of the best mattresses in the U.S. Visit Engineered Sleep's one-of-a-kind mattress showroom on Pleasantburg Drive, across from Krispy Kreme, and find your next mattress. Enjoy free in-home delivery, a 100-night sleep trial, and of course, a great night of sleep. Visit EngineersSleep.com.
The upstate leader in sports by day, worldwide leader in sports by night. We are the Roar, part of the ESPN family.
Hey, my great friends at Trail want to build your building for you. Trail is going to exceed your expectations. I love this. You want to talk about setting the bar high? Trail says this: if they don't exceed your expectations, they failed. Now, I want to give you a quote from a listener, Bo. Bo sent me this text on Monday, and he said, "Mickey, I am in the construction business, and I will tell you that we deal with all kinds of contractors." And he said, "I will tell you that it is very, very difficult to get paid what a lot of people in construction owe you." He goes, "I will tell you that Trail pays in advance." He goes, "No one else does this, but they do it in advance where everybody else is late on payments." But he goes, "That's who Trail is." And he says, "They are an absolute pleasure to work with." So add that to it. You know, you're talking about any doing any business with anybody else in the industry. And they're working with Trail, and like that's going to be working out better for you too. I love that idea. My great friends at Trail. Tennessee Duke, I promise I'm coming to you, but let me give you a one-minute story here. Back in about 2000, and this is the most impressive thing I can say. This is the most impressive thing I've ever heard about Tiger Woods. In about 2005, I had on Joe Ogilvy on the show. Joe Ogilvy played golf at Duke. He was on the PGA Tour for about 8 or 10 years. Joe had won, he won in Milwaukee in 2007. He had top 25 finishes in the British Open 2001 and the PGA Championship 2005 and the Masters 2005. It was about 2005. He had two top 25 finishes. I knew him because my roommate at the time, Charles Warren, who I was living with, knew him from Duke and knew him from the Corn Ferry Tours and played with him out this way. And I went to dinner with a couple of times when they were in town and got to know Joe just a tiny bit. Very, very bright guy. And at the time, again, he's one of the top 25 players on the PGA Tour. And we were talking about Tiger Woods. And this is what he had to say. And this is the single most impressive thing I've heard about any athlete ever. All right, Sam, get this. I said, "Tell me something about Tiger Woods that we don't know." And again, this is 2005, the prime peak of Tiger Woods. He said, "Mickey, you know everything there is to know about Tiger Woods. I'm going to tell you one thing you don't know." He goes, "You know everything there is to know. You know every round he has, all the famous shots he has, all his equipment. You know his workout routine, his nutrition routine. You know anything about his personal life. You know all of his carry yardages. And you know all the great shots. You know all the finishes. You know everything about the history about him. You know all his strengths, all his weaknesses. You know everything about Tiger Woods you can know except for one thing. Every step the guy makes socially, we know about. We know everything about the guy except for one thing. And he said, as much as you think you know about him, he's the most underrated player in our tour. We were calling him the greatest player of all times. And I said, what? He goes, yes. He goes, because let me be clear about one thing. As good as you think he is, you have no idea how good he is. What a compliment. Can you imagine someone saying that Michael Jordan's the most underrated player in the NBA? Can you imagine someone saying Tom Brady's the most underrated quarterback in the NFL? He said, you have no idea how good he is. The number one player in the world, we thought was the greatest player ever. You had no idea how good he is. And that's coming from a player because he saw it inside the ropes, right? That's the compliment that that's one I've never heard. Tennessee Duke, you've been very, very patient. Thanks for doing that, man, and I'm glad you held on. How you doing?
Hey, good, Mickey. How you doing?
Fantastic.
Hey, yeah, great conversation. Sorry about my voice, by the way. I'm coming off of about 2 weeks of trying to get it back. But the Scottie Scheffler is doing an amazing job right now. It's amazing what he's getting doing. But there is no comparison. And the comment you just made, I was going to bring that up. I heard that also back then, and I absolutely agree with it. He was the most underrated and the greatest player during that era. And we just saw Rory complete the slam, right? The four majors.
Yeah.
Tiger did it four times. He won them all.
Yeah.
He did that. Him and Jack are the only guys to do that.
Yeah.
And, you know, play hard, Scotty. I mean, you got a long way to go, buddy. You got 56-4 just to catch up to him. I mean,
I hope he does.
It was an era.
Yeah.
I do too. I would love to see it. I mean, you know, Tiger was the most unbelievable player I have ever seen walk on a golf course, and I had the privilege to see Jack in the twilight of his career. Tiger was incredible. He had every single shot in the bag. He had no weakness, and he would adapt. If he needed to hit a stinger two iron to put the ball in the fairway, he would do it. I mean, he did shot making after shot making, and it was just incredible to watch.
Yeah, what we're talking about is one of the top 10 athletes of all time in a sport that you wouldn't normally yield at.
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. As you mentioned earlier, they changed golf courses because of him.
Yep. Yeah.
You don't change the game unless the person is dominating it and it's unfair to everybody else.
100%. Totally agree.
That's why.
You know, I love this one. Remember when they started doing drug tests on the PGA Tour? And I forgot what player said. It says, here's the deal. Just drug test Tiger, because if he's not taking drugs, who cares if anybody else is?
Right, exactly. Everybody else needs to take them.
Yeah.
I'll leave you with this, Mickey. In the U.S. Open, the one you were talking about that he won by so many, I think it was 15.
Yeah.
If you go back and remember, second and third and fourth place played best ball and still lost to him.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that crazy? The best players in the world.
Best players in the world.
Yeah.
Have a great day, Mickey.
Thank you.
Have a
Tennessee
good one, guys.
Thank you, buddy.
All right.
That comment that Ogilvy made, what he's saying there is that as non-professional players, we don't comprehend. We can't comprehend. Like, our minds can't grasp that. And I imagine that, like, there's a way that Gretzky was that way, or that Brady was that way, or Muhammad Ali was that way, that, like, you almost had to be a boxer to fully grasp. Like, non-boxers can understand Ali's greatness. Non-hockey players can understand Gretzky's greatness. But to have a full grasp of it, ask Messier about Gretzky, right? To have a full grasp of it, ask Joe Frazier about Muhammad Ali. To have a full grasp of it, ask Peyton Manning about Tom Brady. Like, that is a little appreciation that you kind of know. But to say the most, and not even the idea that you don't know how good he is. The idea that he's the most underrated player. With all that hype, and you're still the most underrated player. Woo, what a statement. Ernie's up next. Ernie, thanks for hanging on. How you doing this morning?
Good, Mick. How you doing?
Man, I'm fantastic.
Good. Hey, I just wanted to jump in on this. Since I've been watching these dudes with Jack for 50 years,
yeah,
and those other dudes for as long, you know what? I kind of parse it out this way. I mean, Jack had just felt like he maybe, I don't know, Tiger might be, and it's a Scotty. I mean, you know, the cliche of course management and being able to focus and think it through, he was, you know, sort of unparalleled that way. And to me, he sort of outlasted. Not that he didn't win some by significant portion, but he outlasted, you know, his kind of competition. And like I said, maybe he had 25 guys he had to beat. Tiger maybe 30 to 35, and maybe that's the same for Scotty. I think that, you know, Jack also, I mean, if, you know, there people do say if he had the equipment then that he had, that there is now, that, you know, maybe he'd be hitting at 340, you know, on a regular basis.
I believe that, because he was like so much longer than anybody of that time. Like, you have to compare eras. And, you know, to say that, yeah, would Babe Ruth be hitting 500-foot home runs now? Well, Mantle did a couple of those. But, like, would Babe Ruth hit a 98-mile-an-hour cutter that far? I don't know.
Yeah.
But during his era, that's the only way I could compare it. Like, he did better than anybody else of that era. To hold him accountable for equipment or nutrition or weightlifting, like, I don't know. Who says he wouldn't have done that now, you know?
Right. Right. I mean, he had kind of a John Rahm sort of body.
Right.
To me,
big butt, you know, big thighs. Yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, he's the drive that he could get, you know, from his legs is pretty incredible. And he had, you know, that kind of, you know, Colin Montgomery sort of power fade that he could hit the other shots, but he certainly had that grooved. I mean, and then, you know, I think with him and all three of these guys is their ability to set aside all the family stuff and everything else that they got going on in their life and focus up on the course and in practice better than the other dudes. And with Tiger, I mean, you know, I remember Stricker playing with him the first time and just saying, you know, I gotta just quit this game.
Yeah.
I mean, there is no way I can compete with this guy. And I was fortunate enough to see Tiger play a number of times. And, you know, I remember it from the tee. It looked like the other guys were hitting three wood, and he was hitting, you know, a driver. And the fact that he could start, you know, with courses that are where he'd have automatic four birdies because of his length on the par fives.
Yep.
And as good as he was with every shot, he was the best. That was, you know, the short game was just unparalleled too. You know, his crazy dad mentally had him tuned up too. You know, there's no doubt.
I think that's something that both him and Jack had, these dads that drove these kids, and that they're
right.
That they were, you know, such at an early age. You know, I mean, Jack Nicklaus won as an amateur, competed, you know, and Tiger kind of competed as an amateur too. I'm going to tell you why. I mean, and I think Jack's better than Tiger, because let me give you this.
I'm favored to Jack.
Not just 18 to 15, because Jack won 18 majors, Tiger won 15. But the stat that sticks out to me, the two, is that Tiger finished second in majors 7 times.
Right, and Jack was
19.
19. And I think top three, maybe 40, 45.
So how about this? Tiger finished in the top three of a major 26 times. Jack finished in the top 46 times.
Yeah.
Jack had 56 top five finishes. Tiger had 33 top five finishes. Jack Nicklaus is better than Tiger Woods.
Right. I mean, so on the toughest courses when you had to be your best and focused, he was pretty phenomenal.
100%.
Now with Scotty, you know, Scotty's distance control into the greens probably is unparalleled to me.
Amazing.
And, you know, I try to parse these guys and listen to what they say, especially with Scotty, who's kind of a reserve guy, there's no doubt about it. But the way he described the challenge, how much fun and how interesting it is, the challenge to pull off every shot as well as he can, that's clearly something that is exceptional.
Oh, no doubt. You know, Ernie, I got to get top of the hour, but I'm going to leave you this. The one thing that all three of those guys had, it's not just the physical, it's almost as much of the mind, too. Those were elite minds, 100%.
Definitely. Yeah. And they would not give up on a
no.
par.
Oh, no.
Every
no,
par
no.
counted.
Yep, no doubt.
Thanks.
Thanks, Ernie. Appreciate the phone call. Not just physically, mentally better than you. Hour number three when you come back right after this.